The Mavericks are down 2-0. Everybody's counting them out. But what if they come back from this deficit? I'll tell you how.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
What a Wednesday. Here on Theoretically Speaking, myself, Theo Dorsey, C-Cat on the ones and twos. I'd be remiss if I don't start out by saying rest in peace to the logo, Jerry West, who we learned passed today at the age of 86. I have been thoroughly enjoying all of the great stories we've heard here on ESPN 106.3, right from the morning show, right from Unsportsmanlike. And by the way, we'll have Evan Cohen on today. Right around next 15, 20 minutes, we'll have him jump in, talk about what's grinding his gears, as well as reminisce on the life, the legacy, and the legend that was Jerry West, the logo, who it's funny as we hear these stories, and again, from PJ Carlissimo to Hubie Brown, and they can have all of these tales of who Jerry West was as a player, as a friend. He defined what the modern day NBA has looked like for me as a fan, as an executive, in a way that I never really sat back and reflected on and thought about how great his impact was until today. But Jerry West, who had a Hall of Fame career as a player and then again as an executive, you think about the fact that he's the one that convinced the Lakers and went out and traded for Kobe Bryant. He's the one that exhausted himself so much so that he had to go to the hospital following the recruitment of Shaquille O'Neal to the Los Angeles Lakers. He constructed that three-peat that happened, but then also his influence in the greatest dynasty in our modern basketball times. When you think about these Warriors, the best dynasty since the Shaq and Kobe Lakers have been that Golden State Warriors team. He had an instrumental part in getting Kevin Durant to Golden State, as well as the influence over how that roster looked. And on top of that, one thing that keeps getting overlooked in that is Jerry West's influence on grit and grind. That Memphis Grizzlies team that just held so heavily. But the one thing that to me is always going to be Jerry West's legacy, something that'll never be taken away of the many different prongs. I mean, he's a guy who there's only a handful of people who have influenced the game of basketball and have dedicated their life to it as much as him is. That finals MVP from 1969, likely the one thing, the one more unbreakable record in basketball when Jerry West won that finals MVP for the Lakers in a losing effort against the Boston Celtics, the only person to ever win the Bill Russell Award and not come out victorious hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy. And I'm sure he was miserable about it because as we've learned about Jerry West, this guy loved winning and the only thing he hated more than anything was losing. And Jerry West is definitely going to be missed. I think back to that finals MVP because as we are now on the precipice of the game three of the NBA finals, the Mavericks and the Boston Celtics tonight in Texas, that's going to be a key prong. That's going to be a key cog as to who will come out victorious tonight. I think that's going to be a major factor. The Dallas Mavericks find themselves in an 0-2 hole. Only five teams in the history of the NBA have ever been able to return from an 0-2 hole and win the NBA Finals. Actually, that 69 Celtics team that beat Jerry West squad was one of them. They were the first, and the last one was the 2021 Milwaukee Bucks. A lot of people forget about the heroic efforts of Giannis Antetokounmpo. But today, it feels like everybody's out on the Mavericks. It feels like so many people are writing this off. The Celtics super team that is so good from top to bottom when you think about Drew Holiday and Derek White and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis. Such a deep team, such a strong squad that has seemed impervious to any kind of deficit in these NBA playoffs. But I'll give you three reasons why the Dallas Mavericks do have a window of opportunity to go back and come back and not only win tonight but also have a chance to win these NBA finals. C-Cat, for you, did you ever watch actually that show on HBO, Winning Time, that caught so many numbers and caught so many fans by a storm?
Unfortunately, haven't. Heard great things, though.
Man, that, again, when it comes to Jerry West, I watched that show with my wife. Like, her seeing him in that explosive way and him being portrayed in that way by the actor there, to me, it's like, if you want any real good depiction, not only the stories from the day, but going back and watching Winning Time again, that'll tell you just how insatiable winning was for him, or the force against losing. And again, tonight, for those Dallas Mavericks and Boston Celtics, they're going to want to channel that spirit. I can't wait to see what the dedication the NBA does for Jerry West will be at American Airlines Arena. Let's talk about Game 3, though, of these NBA Finals. They will be tonight, 8:30, tip-off at American Airlines. The Dallas Mavericks are 2.5-point favorite right now on Hard Rock Bet, down 0-2 in the series. But here is the reason why I feel like these Mavericks have some steam. They have an opportunity. Reason number one why I feel like if this happens, the door is open for a Mavericks comeback, and a substantial one at that.
Number one.
And it's got to be the Finals MVP trophy. Not just who's chasing after it, but its mere existence as the one thing that can divide the Boston Celtics as the Mavericks look to conquer. If you looked at Jason Tatum and the way that he played in Game 1 with the Mavericks down by 25, the Celtics had a comfortable lead, 100-75 with about 5 minutes left in Game 1. Where was Jason Tatum? On the floor, forcing shots up, trying to pad those stats. He ended with 16 points. In Game 2, Jason Tatum, another stinker, 6-22 from the field, never really got his offense going, was a really good assist game for him. But he knew that those statistics he would need to get that Bill Russell trophy in his back pocket were not going the right way. And take a listen to this, because I think it's very telling from Jason Tatum. Following Game 2, following a win from the Celtics, take a listen to him addressing his struggles on the offensive end. And you tell me if this sounds like a player who's happy to be up 2-0 in the finals, or somebody who's disappointed knowing that their legacy is a bit on the line, because people are going to have all of these conversations, the same ones we had about Steph Curry, about, yeah, you won the championship, but why weren't you a Finals MVP?
Every time I take a couple dribbles, it's like three people right there. So, you know, we got a bunch of shooters on our team and guys that can space the floor. They kept leaving Drew open. And so it wasn't like I had to do anything spectacular. It was just about finding the open guy. You know, I've been here before and we didn't win. And it's just like, you know, we're so close to what we're trying to accomplish. Why would I let my ego or feel my need to score all the points get in the way of that? You know, there are going to be times where, you know, I need to score. And obviously I need to shoot better. Golly.
C-Cat. Does that sound like a guy that's up 2-0 in the finals, two wins away from his very first NBA championship? Or does that sound like a guy that's disappointed that an individual accolade that he has yearned for since he was a little boy is seeming to be further out of his grasp?
Yeah, if you were to play that audio for me 2 weeks ago before this series begun and said, this is from 2 weeks from now, this is Jason Tatum after Game 2, I would have said they're down 0-2.
Yeah.
Or they're at least 1-1.
I can't jump into the head of Jason Tatum. I can't tell you exactly what he's thinking, but I can show you what he has been doing on the basketball court, and I can also play for you his reaction after these games. That dude cares about the Finals MVP trophy. There's also a couple of other guys on his team, and there's a coach on the other side that knows good and well that he also cares about that individual accolade, and that could be step one to the Dallas Mavericks having a shot in this series. The Celtics are best when they play that altruistic basketball, that hoops where they're swinging it around, they're driving, they're kicking. Whoever gets the ball and is open takes the shot. But if Jason Tatum, who's been shooting under 30% from three, under 40% from the floor, and is yet to hit 20 points in the game this series, if he goes out there tonight and he's chucking up shots and he's trying to pad his stats and he's trying to prove to the world and maybe even to himself that he's the best player on the Boston Celtics, that is reason number one why the Dallas Mavericks can have a chance. And it's funny because the Mavericks know it based on the way that Jason Kidd came out and said, Jaylen Brown is the best player on the Boston Celtics. He's the guy we're worried about stopping. And then Drew Holiday backdooring and agreeing with Jason Kidd and saying Jaylen Brown is the best. And then in Game 2, Drew Holiday having a Drew game and knocking Jason Tatum down to the third most impactful Celtic so far in this series. And that's a close one. Because reason number two
Number two.
That the Dallas Mavericks have a shot at not just winning tonight, but coming back in this series is the questions around Kristaps Porzingis, who is a very pivotal player for the Boston Celtics, not just with the way he stretches the floor, but his rim defense. And Kristaps Porzingis, this is what I would do if I'm the Boston Celtics anyway. You're up 2-0, right? You can't afford to drop this game because you don't want the Mavericks to get any momentum. But Kristaps has an injury that is so severe that most headlines and reporters are just calling it a rare leg injury. It's his left leg. It's a problem. And if I'm the trainers and staff, because apparently they can't get this guy to agree that he should be sitting out of the game, if I'm the trainers and staff, my new rule, it's kind of similar to like there's the concussion protocol rules that they have in sports where it's like you have to answer certain questions to be able to get back on the field. Hey, Kristaps, if you can pronounce the injury you have, then you can try and play through it. Because I don't know what he's going to be able to do with this, but the injury, again, that right leg injury, he suffered a torn medial retinaculum, allowing the dislocation of the posterior tibialis in his left leg. That's too much word alphabet soup for you to be trying to go and play through it at 7'3" with a lower extremity injury. And we know Kristaps Porzingis is known for two things: being a unicorn, impossible to stop, great rim defender, right? But also his inability to remain on the court. You don't want a leg injury compounding, even at this stage in the NBA Finals. Kristaps Porzingis' availability for the Boston Celtics is already in question. We don't know if he'll play tonight yet. And even if he does, a hampered Porzingis feels like almost as much of a defensive target for the Celtics to be picked at as Rudy Gobert was for the Timberwolves last series. You don't want Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic getting a switch out of Kristaps and being able to take advantage of him. That dude has to sit. And if he does, the Celtics have outscored the Mavericks by 25 points with Kristaps on the floor. With him off the floor in this series, they've played dead even. A missing Kristaps, or if the unicorn is hobbled at all out there, C-Cat, that is going to spell some danger for the Boston Celtics. And that could be another gateway to the Mavericks not just winning tonight, but winning the series.
I guess so. I'm concerned because I think we might be doing a little bit of hope casting here, because I want this to become a series. You want this to become a series. And we're coming up with the reasons how this can become a series. And it all starts, have to win game three tonight.
They have to win game three tonight. And I will stop the momentum of this by saying, if you're going to watch game three tonight, which you better be doing, one of the best places to watch it is Duffy's Sports Grill. I mean, if you haven't pulled up to a Duffy's Sports Grill and watched a game, then might I invite you to try it out tonight for the first time. 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day. So it doesn't matter what time you show up. When you pull up, you'll be able to order whatever you like. Is that a whiskey Coke? Yeah, bang. Double it up. 2-for-1. Do you like a Long Island? Dangerous game you're playing past 8:30, but you know what? Have your fun. It's Duffy Sports Grill. Award-winning burgers, award-winning wings, and, of course, DuffysMVP.com. When you are a rewards member, an MVP like me, you can track those rewards. And all of those 2-for-1 drinks, they're stacking up points for you. They're stacking up points the same way that Jason Tatum's trying to stat pad his points. You can stat pad at the Duffy Sports Grill tonight. 80 or more televisions in every single location, so you can watch all your favorite games. If there's multiple going on at the same time, the viewing experience is great. The food is amazing. And of course, I always double down. 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day. Check out that Finals Game 3 at your closest Duffy Sports Grill. At Duffy's, our game is always on. And speaking of Finals Game 3, reason number 3 the Dallas Mavericks can win this series, can make it a series and be only the 6th team in NBA history to come back from an 0-2 deficit in the NBA Finals.
Number 3.
And that's Luka Doncic. Plain and simple. Luka Doncic has an opportunity of the lifetime right now, here today. If you think about what made Giannis Antetokounmpo this immaculate star, a guy that is now impervious to our commentary on his bad playoff performances we have seen since, it was in 2021 when the Suns led 2-0 and Giannis averaged damn near 40 points per game over the next four games, including that closeout game in Game 6. His star ascended to a place that year that is unmatched. That is how you come back in the series down 0-2. How about for South Florida fans and Miami Heat fans like myself? We take it back to 0-6 when Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat with Shaquille O'Neal were down 0-6 to these Dallas Mavericks. Everybody had wrote him off. But that was then when the legend of Flash was born. And Dwayne Wade, I know a lot of people like to talk about the 75-odd free throws he took over the next four games, but how about the fact that he averaged 40 points per game for those Miami Heat? He came back. The Heat never lost another game, and that was the first championship in Miami Heat history. By the way, C-Cat, this morning I was at Kaiser University for the Perseverance Basketball Heat Week Camp, and I was up close and personal with the Larry O.B.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right next to you?
Right next to me, man. A little bit of that Heat lure, that Heat culture, you know what I'm saying? It bounced back and forth, me and the Larry O.B. It felt like, again, I haven't played in the NBA yet, but it did
Don't say yet.
What?
Yet. You're not going to play in the NBA.
I'm 31 years old, C-Cat. Don't punt on my dreams.
Not a Disney movie, pal. You're not playing in the NBA.
I stand here before you sporting an Oreo Olympics gold medal today because I won a discus competition in our office. We've been doing the Oreo Olympics. I would have never thought I would be a gold medalist, and here I am, a two-time gold medalist in our in-office Oreo Olympics competition, and now you're saying my NBA dreams are already dead.
Yeah, I say the ship has sailed. It would have happened by now,
pal. How old is Al Horford? How old is Al Horford?
What is he, like 39?
Yeah. I got time. That's all I'm saying. And I will say, being just that close to the Larry O.B., I see why people thirst so much for it. I see why the late, great Jerry West, when he lost all of those finals, he gained that insatiable taste and thirst for winning when he finally did in 72 for the Lakers. Like, I felt the aura of the Larry O'Brien trophy, and it felt damn good. And I won't feel bad about it. And maybe that's what got me over the hump to get me this gold medal in our office competition today. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. The Dallas Mavericks can come back in this series from down 0-2, but what will it take? Hit us up on our Baptist Health hotline. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. We'll bring in Evan Cohen in a moment. 888-760-3776. The Dallas Mavericks can come back in the NBA Finals if what? And we have Vontae in Atlanta. He is on line one. Vontae, you are on, theoretically speaking. What's happening on this beautiful Wednesday, Doc?
Man, it's beautiful out here. I love the show. I just wanted to say that I think the Mavs can definitely come back if, you know, Porzingis being out. I think that'll be the biggest way. And another thing, too, I just got to say, can we finally agree that Jaylen Brown is the most important player on the Celtics?
Hey, you know what?
I just feel like Tatum is so inconsistent. He'll have a stat pad, but he doesn't even affect on defense. Like, I don't know. I'm just over the hype. I'm a Duke fan. I was there. I loved him even when Tatum was there. But I just feel like they try to make him a superstar, and he's just a star.
I like that. I like that call, Vontae. I appreciate the call, and that's a good point. The difference between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, especially the one it feels like as a viewer, one of them elevates their game in the playoffs and in the biggest moments, especially in the NBA Finals. And the other one in Jason Tatum, he had that one game seven against the Sixers. Outside of that, I've seen him come up short more times than I've seen him have a heroic performance, and especially as many times as he settles for those bad three-point shots. He's not a great three-point shooter. In his head, he thinks he is. He specifically does that too many times in big moments for the Celtics, and that has been his detriment. I agree. Jaylen Brown, a much scarier presence on those Boston Celtics. When we come back, we get Evan Cohen coming in. He's mad at fans. Apparently, Evan Cohen is back on his soapbox, back in his yard, telling these young fans to get off of his lawn. We ask him why when we come back on Theoretically Speaking.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I mean, 6 1/3 scoreless innings. allowing only 5 hits, striking out 8, and walking no batters with 103 pitches. Paul Skenes is good. The rookie for the Pittsburgh Pirates on the mound, who won against the Cardinals 2-1. But we wouldn't be talking regular season baseball if there wasn't some kind of scandal surrounding the performance. And to address what happened at Busch Stadium yesterday, we bring on Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. You hear it here, 6 to 10 a.m. You see his name on the studio, and he does it with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman. Evan, first and foremost, you gave out your fan rules, what was that, just over a week ago, and now it feels like they've been broken for like the third time since. How enraged are you at the Cardinals fans and your very own Michelle Smallman now?
It's ridiculous, Theo. It's absolutely ridiculous. When we discussed this for the first time, you and I here on ESPN West Palm, we discussed it about a player in Reese Hoskins who's now on the Brewers, who went back to Philadelphia where he played previously and had a long, successful career there, and he got a standing ovation after a home run. And I thought that was ridiculous when he's on the opposing team. So when I saw this that you're referencing this morning, I did some homework. I had to make sure there was no connection to St. Louis, right? Paul Skenes, where is he from? California. Where did he go to college? Air Force and LSU. Where did he play minor league baseball? In Florida, in Pennsylvania, and in Indianapolis. There is absolutely zero connection to St. Louis. He's a rookie, okay? He is a rookie. And they gave him a standing ovation for mowing down their entire roster last night? Are you freaking kidding me? That is absurd. I mean, you want the Heat fans, if Wemby has a triple-double against them, to give him a standing ovation when Pop takes him out of the game? That's ridiculous. I could not believe this last night when I saw this. This morning I actually saw it because I was asleep by that point.
Right. And here's the one thing that confuses me, because number one, what I've realized, I still feel like the Cardinals fan base is like one of the better fan bases in all of sports, regardless of the sport. The weird thing to me is they still have a team to root for the rest of this year. The Pirates are in their division. And they're better than them.
Yes.
How do we feel about, like, has anybody put a microphone in front of the current Cardinals and asked them how they feel about Busch Stadium standing and applauding a 22-year-old that just whooped their tail?
That's a very good point and a very good question. If they did, we did not have that audio ready to go this morning, so that's on us. Yeah, I don't know if, you know, Paul Goldschmidt or Nolan Arenado, you know, had anything to say. But you bring up an interesting point, because the Cardinals fans, and by the way, let's be clear, we are talking in a market right now in Palm Beach County, the Treasure Coast, that you and I both know has tons of Cardinals fans, because people come to South Florida and Palm Beach County for spring training to watch the Cardinals. They get a whiff of our area that you and I have lived in. I mean, I lived in forever and you live in now. And they're like, oh, why would we leave this place?
It's tough to leave.
Right. It's tough to leave. So we know we are currently speaking to Cardinals fans. But the reality is, what I've realized about Cardinals fans, they're great baseball fans. They're not Cardinals specific. Because if you're going to give a standing ovation to the opposing team with no connection to your team, that's a joke. That's a joke. That tells me you're a baseball fan. You're basically the actor Rob Lowe showing up to an NFL game with the NFL logo on your hat, because you're a fan of all 32 teams. That's what the Cardinals fans are.
Or like Drake, who's a fan of whoever's winning at the moment. Evan Cohen joining.
Well, no, actually, you know, I got to be honest with you. It's actually, in a way, worse than Drake if you consider what Drake does bad, and I'm not one to talk as a front runner. But Drake, you know, he's going to root for the Celtics or the Mavs. He's not rooting for the Pistons. Right? What the Cardinals fans are doing is they're rooting for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I specifically worry for the players on the team. And then also I'm concerned that Michelle Smallman is taking up for all of her fans. It wasn't like she was at Busch Stadium. She could absolve herself from this, but your co-host Michelle Smallman sticking up for her fans. I guess I'm glad that she's staying true. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 106.3, joining us to talk a little baseball. But let's transition over to basketball. Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. the Mavericks down 0-2. Also over there in the Stanley Cup final, you have the Oilers down 0-2 to our own Florida Panthers. I want to pitch this to you because you're one of the few people that can give a good insight on this. Which team do you think actually has a better shot of coming down from this 0-2 deficit? Because when I look at these two series, I look at one team being better, the Panthers and the Celtics, one team being more dominant. But then also, there's the best player on the other side when you think about Connor McDavid for the Oilers and Luka Doncic for the Mavericks. Which one of those two superstars are in a better position to actually come back from a huge deficit in these finals?
Neither. Neither.
Wow.
So I don't know nearly as much about hockey as you do, and obviously you being around it and doing all the shows that you've done around it, you know way more than I do. So I'll say Connor McDavid just because I think this series with Boston and Dallas is over. And I have not thought that Boston was going to win a championship all year long. Mm. Never thought it. And then game one against Indiana happens, where Indiana had a big lead, totally blew it. The Celtics had a great comeback late, and I went on the air the next day, and I said, you know what? Something feels different about this team. They feel like they can beat anyone right now. They just have a bunch of really good players. Because I guess with the Panthers, if you're going to look at it, which, by the way, let me just elaborate on that. Somebody saying, like I just said, oh, they have a lot of really good players. Well, of course they do. They're in the NBA Finals. But let me explain that. When was the last time you saw a team that just had six guys that were really good on offense and really good on defense?
Yeah.
Not one or the other. Both. Like, Luka is all-time great on offense. And he's fine on defense.
He's a turnstile on defense, Boston, especially when he's hobbled like he is right now.
Right, right. Okay. Even for us as Heat fans, you and I, like, we're not going to sit here. We could love Tyler Hero, and I know he didn't play in the finals, but, like, a couple of years ago against the Lakers, like, he's not good on defense. Like, that's not a thing that he's good at, right? I mean, if you look at what we've seen with this Boston team, they have six guys that are really good on offense and really good on defense. That's actually abnormal. And so I don't see how you come back from that even without Porzingis potentially in the lineup. And I have a weird feeling he actually does play tonight. I'm in the minority on that one, but I do think he plays. In the case of the Panthers, I guess you tell me, if Sergei Bobrovsky, or whatever the heck you say his name, I think I'm saying it right.
Yeah, you're about. Yeah. I can stamp
if
that.
If he doesn't allow what he's been allowing, which is like no goals, well, that is a different story, right? I mean, most people say the Panthers actually didn't play that well in game one and still won, played much better in game two, but Bobrovsky is the reason they're winning. I mean, so, you know, that's kind of, I'm not downplaying Tkachuk or anybody else, but the reality is, if you force me to answer the question, I would say the Oilers have a better chance of coming back, only because I don't think the Mavs have any chance of coming back.
So here go my reasons why the Mavericks have a chance of coming back in this series. Number one, the question around Kristaps Porzingis could turn him into, potentially, the one defensive liability. If he does what you were saying and plays tonight, hobbled on that leg, maybe that gives an opportunity for Kyrie or Luka to make some magic happen. Also, and I think you probably had a keen eye on this as well, I think the actual presence, the fact that the finals MVP trophy exists and Jason Tatum has proven himself through two games to be a guy that at the very least is aware of the discourse around whether or not he's the best player on his team and likely really wants to walk away with that Bill Russell MVP award. He might be a guy that, if the game is close tonight on the road, can shoot the Celtics out of a game like we've seen him do in the Eastern Conference playoffs against our very own Miami Heat in the past. And then my third point is, they do have Luka Doncic. And if you think about the last couple of times we've seen the team come back from down 2-0, it took an immaculate performance from a superstar, and it was really their first time on the big stage. Giannis in 2021, when he closed it out with that 50-point performance, and I don't got to tell you about what Dwayne Wade did in 06 in those last four games against the Dallas Mavericks. That's Dallas's, open route.
No, you can tell me. You can tell me. I want to hear about him averaging 40 points a game over those last four. I want to hear about him throwing that ball up in the air in Dallas. I want to hear about Zoe and how well he played in that series, 15 strong for the Miami Heat, June 20th, 2006. Yeah, I want to hear about that when they won their first championship, and I was doing a show in Miami overnight post-game after they won a championship on one station, and on the other station was Jeremy Marsh-Pelch, JMP. We went head-to-head. I won that battle. I don't know how I decided I won that battle. But
I was about to say.
But yeah, There was no numerical. I don't know which show had more sales. I don't know which show had more listeners. I don't know that anyone listened to either one of those shows. But in my head, I won that battle. But no, don't skip over the Heat winning their first championship. But here's my point. I understand where you're going with this. And you're trying to make a case for the Mavs coming back and all these different angles you have, which I'm not saying you're wrong, Theo. You may be right on every part of this. Where I'm going is as follows. I kind of think tonight, here's what happens. I think the first shot of the game for the Dallas Mavericks will be a three-pointer by Kyrie Irving. I think they're going to be very conscious to get involved with Kyrie behind the arc. 0 of 8 from behind the arc so far in this series. Okay? I think Porzingis actually plays. My reasoning is no team has ever come back from 3-0. I think the Celtics look at tonight as game 7. Go for broke tonight. Even if Porzingis is broke as a result of tonight and they get the win, everybody, including Porzingis, deals with that. And I think tonight's the big Tatum game. I do not think he's the series MVP, obviously. I do think he's had a better series than people realize because everybody looks at the shooting percentage and how bad it is. I'll look at the 12 assists and 9 rebounds in game 2 and tell you that that's the kind of thing that's the mark of a great player. Oh, my shot's not going tonight? What else can I do? Go look back 2010 NBA Finals Lakers-Celtics. I want to say Kobe was 6 of 24 in that game, had 23 points, but had 15 rebounds, if I'm not mistaken, and got to the free throw line double-digit times. One of the worst shooting games of Kobe's career, Game 7, but was phenomenal on the glass. That's the mark of an all-time great player. And so I think Tatum has actually been better than people thought so far. I think tonight's his big game. I think Tatum gets 30-plus. I think KP plays, and I think Kyrie tries to get going early. That's my gut feeling.
And that's the thing. If you're going to bank on Tatum going for 30-plus, that plays right into my theory that he's going to be trying to get 30-plus, whereas on the other side, Luka can stumble his way into 40 if he's healthy enough. And again, the door is open. The door is open for that Mavericks comeback.
Theo, let me just make sure I'm clear on something. Sorry to interrupt, but I want to make sure I'm clear on your point because this is interesting. So you're saying basically Tatum efforting the 30 hurts Boston.
Yes. 100%, because he's already been doing it in this series, and that's why his shooting percentage is so low. Like, it feels like, do you remember game 1 when the Celtics were up by 25 points with 5 minutes left, and you look on the bench, Jaylen Brown and Chris Stapps are cheering the team on, you look for the Mavericks, you see Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving on the bench as well with their heating pads on, and who's still on the court getting shots up? Jason Tatum. Like, I'm not trying to criticize or ostracize the man for going for the individual accolade, but it's clear that that's important to him, and Jason Kidd recognized it the way that he called out that Jaylen Brown is the best player. The door being open for the Mavericks is partially Jason Tatum going for Finals MVP, and then I look at Hard Rock Bet, and the odds-on favorite right now to win Finals MVP is Jason Tatum. So even Vegas knows that the guy's going to be going for Finals MVP. I just feel like that's a route where Dallas can take advantage because the Celtics are best when they're moving the ball around and when Tatum is making the smart passes. If he falls into bad shots, especially late, if the game is close, the Mavericks have a good chance, man.
It's a very fair argument. It's something that I'm going to keep an eye on tonight because I was so impressed with Tatum's ball movement in the last game. Basically, he, in essence, played point guard, and Drew Holiday played a big guy in that.
He did. It was amazing.
So I'll keep an eye on it. You know what? You gave us something here. Wow, this is good. Now we have an argument tonight, if Theo is right about this, that all of a sudden if Tatum's going to shoot a million shots, that Theo's argument is that's not good for the Celtics. That's very interesting.
Just saying. Evan Cohen joining us here from Unsportsmanlike on Theoretically Speaking. Last one on the way out, Evan. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the late, great Jerry West, who we learned passed this morning. I actually learned it listening to Unsportsmanlike, listening to your show when you actually broke it to PJ Carlissimo, who you had on earlier this morning.
Very tricky spot. Very tricky spot. I want you to air check me a little bit. So let me walk people through what happened here. We have PJ Carlissimo, who's on the call. You'll hear tonight on ESPN 106.3, of course, with Marquez Assur and George Sedano, South Florida Zone. And I see the news, and I'm like, I got to say this immediately. Like, I can't, like, not tell the audience that this terrible thing has happened. Jerry West passed at 86 years old. But then I'm like, do I really want to break this to PJ Carlissimo on the air? So the move that I pulled was I said, PJ, I'm sorry to interrupt. I need to tell everybody this, and I'm sorry you have to hear this way. So I did it as, like, almost I'm telling the audience. And I passed along that Jerry West had died. And I'm, in a way, I'm glad I did it that way because you got some insight immediately from PJ, who did not sound surprised in the slightest. And right. actually, Theo, as you heard, gave us the, yeah, unfortunately had some heart issues for a long time now. We all were kind of bracing for this. So it sounds like this was kind of known amongst the basketball circles that they were bracing for this moment. Like, in comparison, I hate to compare deaths here. I don't think anybody knew that Bill Walton was as sick as he was when he passed a couple of weeks ago. Because the way I don't know if you heard it differently, but the way I heard it with PJ was that he knew.
Yeah. It was almost immediately, and honestly, that was the first thing that struck me was, you're right. As you were finishing your sentence, PJ followed up immediately with, like, yeah. And I was nervous for you as you were saying it as a broadcaster who would have been scared and probably, you know, urinating down my leg to have to do that. And I thought it went great. And also we got some good insight from Carlos Samoa, and it woke me up for sure. Evan, appreciate you. Don't make too many more enemies when it comes to fan bases. And we'll see. If the St. Louis Cardinals fans start calling in here hating on Theoretically Speaking, I'm going to redirect that to Unsportsmanlike 6 to 10 a.m.
Oh, that's good by me. By the way, one other thing. This is a very serious conversation. I understand death was involved, but next week, can we screw around, please? This is way too serious for me.
I know. We should have ending it on that note was a little more tough. Next week, we'll throw some music on and play a game with you. How about that?
Oh, yes. Let's go.
Fun.
Let's go. I'm looking forward to that.
All right, then, Evan. Appreciate you jumping in on here on a Wednesday. Evan Cohen. From Unsportsmanlike, dropping some insight and giving us the behind-the-scenes look at how he actually did break that news on Unsportsmanlike. I don't think Unsportsmanlike gets enough credit for how many times they have it first. I also learned of the Dan Hurley news with Adrian Wojnarowski, 6 to 10 a.m. on Unsportsmanlike. Y'all got to make sure y'all are tapped in.
Yeah,
in the morning.
When Scottie Scheffler got arrested the morning of the PGA, yeah. I learned it from Unsportsmanlike.
There it is. Like, they don't get enough credit for, like, kind of breaking news. I know they don't break the news, but they're the place that a lot of people hear it first. The first place you need to call if you find yourself in a car accident, a truck accident, a slip and fall is Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. They will fight for you. Mark Anajar, Lynn Levine, you know the names. You also know the game. They don't get paid unless you do. So they'll fight to get you the maximum compensation you deserve. Call Anajar and Levine for your free consultation. Don't just settle for any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine. That's the Anajar and Levine difference. It takes just one phone call to take back control of your life. So take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Game 3 of the NBA Finals is tonight. The Stanley Cup Final doesn't resume until tomorrow night. The Panthers trying to take a commanding 3-0 lead, just like the Celtics will look to do in this one. You can catch both on ESPN 106.3. We break down a little bit of both when we have the Get Around next on Theoretically Speaking.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Who the hell is still buying Rihanna's anti-album in 2024? I see a tweet here from Chart Data. It says, Rihanna has sold over 1 million total album units in the U.S. in 2024. She's the only artist to reach that milestone without having released an album since 2020. But who the hell is just now getting turned on to Rihanna when she dropped her last album in 2016? I mean, congratulations to her, but that's weird as hell.
It feels like money laundering.
It's got to be.
Somewhere somebody bought 1 million copies, resold them.
Oh.
Washing that cash. I'm on to you, Rihanna.
I see what you're doing. All right. You know what? I respect the hustle. Got to wash that money somehow. She's a champion on the charts. If you want to know about champions on really any playing field, I'm talking golf. I'm talking swimming and diving. I'm talking the pitch. That's what they call it in soccer. Did you know that, C-Cat?
Yeah,
pitch?
I did.
Kaiser University's flagship campus has Seahawks champions all over. I mean, they've literally won 22 national championships, including back-to-back in men's lacrosse. They've got 3 straight in NAIA women's swimming and diving. And, of course, I haven't even gotten to the gridiron. Miles Russ, he's going to get that team ready to try and repeat. The Kaiser Seahawks on the football field the reigning champions in the NAIA. They're full of champions over there at the flagship campus of Kaiser University. To get the latest on Kaiser Seahawks, KUSeahawks.com. That's KUSeahawks.com. I was actually at Kaiser today for the Perseverance basketball camp. They had the Larry O'Brien trophy there. I told you earlier. I felt the ambiance. I felt the aura.
Did you see your reflection in it?
I did.
That's important.
And I was looking good. It was beautiful. And it's kind of like, man, like, yeah, I always knew one day I'd be that close to the ultimate goal. Celtics and Mavericks, they're close to it. We'll get to that game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. You can hear on ESPN 106.3 at 8:30 tip-off. Nobody's traveling over to Dallas to go watch it from here. I'm assuming at this point you're already there if you're there. But we do travel to hit all the biggest sports headlines and all the news of the day on our Get Around.
I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round, round and round. I get around.
The Get Around brought to you by Discover the Palm Beaches. What's our first stop?
Next stop. Edmonton, Ontario.
Yeah.
Florida Panthers captain Alexander Barkov is back on the ice and is practicing ahead of Thursday's Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final.
How do you think a concussion protocol goes in hockey? I feel like NHL, they probably have the most lenient concussion protocol. It's like a doctor walks up to you. He's like, hey, do you have a concussion? And then Barkov's like, nah, I think I'm good. And then they clear him.
Yep.
And he's good to go.
Strap him back up. The skates don't even come off.
It's just an upper body injury in hockey. They don't even call it a concussion. It's like he has some kind of injury to somewhere above the belt. Barkov's going to be good to go, hopefully, for Game 3. And I don't want this series coming back to Sunrise. I want the next time the Panthers are in Sunrise, I want it to be for that parade. Let's do it. Bring Lord Stanley back to the crib.
Next stop. Going to Jets camp, where Diana Rossini says how the league feels about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Take a listen to what she had to say.
I think there's probably some desire to get some control back of the team. It's very clear that Aaron Rodgers, and you guys read my article in January that I did with Zach Rosenblatt.
Yeah.
That around the league, other GMs believe that Joe Douglas is the assistant GM and Aaron Rodgers is the GM.
Ooh.
That was on WFAN. That is a complete embarrassment if you're the New York Jets. I get that your franchise hasn't been much since 2010, the early 2010s, right? But neither has Aaron Rodgers when it's come to postseason success. How do you turn the keys of your franchise over to a 40-year-old quarterback and your expectations is maybe make the playoffs? This is miserable. Yesterday I said the Jets are setting people up for a huge disappointment. Maybe they already know that disappointment is coming. And it starts with a quarterback who says he's all in on football. Let's just talk about ball. But for some reason, he's missing. And like overseas, apparently. Apparently, we're going to find out tomorrow. What the hell is going on with that dude? And that franchise, they kind of deserve it.
He can't get the LeBron treatment. Like, LeGM, like, that's not what's happening in the NFL with Aaron Rodgers. He's not the model of consistency, the model of winning that LeBron is in the NBA. How is he getting the same treatment from the front office?
You were in diapers the last time the dude had a Lombardi trophy on his hands.
Damn near.
Like, really? No, I'm
kidding. Next stop. Indianapolis, Indiana's Colts second-year quarterback Anthony Richardson joined the Club 520 podcast. He said playing in the NFL is easier than playing college football.
See, playing in the NFL, I feel like it's easier than college.
Mm. Oh, he did.
For real, because, like, in college, you got players that's, like, they good. They know they good, but they're not as confident. You know what I'm saying? They got to rely on other players to do this for them to do that. But in the league, everybody trying to work to stay in the league. You know what I'm saying? Trying to keep their job. Everybody trying to ball out.
For sure.
People are talking about this like he's going to have to eat his words because the NFL is tough. This is more of an indictment on those dudes out in Gainesville. He said, y'all was playing with some scrubs in college. They don't know how to recruit down there. Gators fans, sorry to tell you, but your own guy said it to you. You guys stink. All right, Get Around's done. Do we have time to talk about Discover the Palm Beaches?
We'll talk about it when we get back.
Let's talk about it when we get back because I hashtag love the Palm Beaches, and I know you do as well, even on a gloomy day. We take you home on Theoretically Speaking next.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Just a classic right there. A Kanye classic. You know, it's time to share the love with hashtag love the Palm Beaches, because nobody knows Palm Beach better than the residents, and that's you. That's me. So let's show them what we're all about. Whether it's your secret hangout spot, a specific field that you played sports at, or a dish at your favorite restaurant, make sure this summer to explore your own backyard and implore your friends to join you as well by hashtagging Love the Palm Beaches, right? I mean, you think about Palm Beach County, we got so much to offer. The restaurants, the attractions, I mean, just the beauty of the palm trees waving in the background. All summer long, Discover the Palm Beaches is going to be giving away monthly prizes to residents who invite loved ones to visit using hashtag Love the Palm Beaches. You can do it on all your social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, MySpace, tagged, all of them. Hashtag Love the Palm Beaches, and then make sure you go online to lovethepalmbeaches.com/love and fill out the form. From vacations to dining cards and everything in between, you can win it all, and all you got to do is hashtag Love the Palm Beaches. I know who I want to take me home, take me home. An update on the playoff payoff. C-Cat and I picking against the spread. We're both 6-5. We can break that tie tonight if we pick against each other. Celtics Mavericks game 3 of the NBA Finals. The Mavericks 2.5-point favorites. I have the Celtics covering, but the Mavericks winning. C-Cat, where are you going?
I want the Mavs to win. I want them to cover, but neither is going to happen. Celtics win by 6. They
wow.
Take a commanding 3-0 series lead.
That would be incredible. No team's ever come back from any series down 3-0 in the NBA. I don't think so, though, C-Cat. The game's tonight. We have it on ESPN 106.3, so stay locked in with our coverage. Freddie and Harry is next. Go in love. Go in peace. Go in joy. And by the way, before I go, Cardinals fans, that's inexcusable. Stop rooting for the other guys. Root for the guys in the red. Peace out.